like a ball of glitter. You got GB31, the summer edition. So sit back and open up a cold one. We got a great interview on the way with Ryan Roxy. As he hits the road today with Alice Cooper, let's check in with him now.
Hey, Glambone, Roxy here.
Hey, Ryan. Let me start by asking you this. Before making it, which of your bands did you have the highest hopes for?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not sure if I've actually made it yet. If you think I have, then that makes me happy. But to be honest with you, all the bands that I've been in, I've had high hopes for. I've been in a lot of bands that have been sort of almost there, almost over the top, but for one reason or another, didn't get all the way there. So obviously, playing with a guy like Alice Cooper, he's made it. You know, he's definitely made it, and I'm lucky enough to get on that train. As far as my other bands, I'm still trying and still hoping to get over that top, so I'll let you know when I do make it. How about that?
Cool. Now, you made your mark on the LA scene with Candy. What do you remember about getting that gig?
Well, the funny thing about being in Candy was I actually got the gig not because of my guitar playing. I got it more because of my haircut.
The old-fashioned way.
There was a bunch of guys walking around Los Angeles that had the same leather coats and spiked out black hair that I did. And so that's how we actually met. A bunch of people said, hey, you look like you should be in this band Candy. And a bunch of guys have said, the guys in Candy, hey, there's this guy walking around that looks exactly like you. Why don't you get him in your band? So that's basically how the existence of Candy was. Very Johnny Bravo, if anybody remembers that Brady Bunch episode. Very Johnny Bravo.
I always thought Gilby on vocals was way better suited for that band. You agree?
I actually really enjoyed Gilby on the vocals with Candy. Obviously, the original singer, Kyle Vincent, had the complete pop persona and the pop voice. Soft and nice sounding. Gilby, he came in there with a little bit more of a raucous sound. So, yeah, and that's the way Candy sort of evolved into these other two bands, which became Kill for Thrills and the band that I joined called Electric Angels.
What happened to Shane from Electric Angels? Do you still keep in touch with him?
Unfortunately, I haven't spoken to Shane in many years. I know that a couple of the other guys, Jonathan, still lives in New York, and he speaks to him every once in a while. But as far as I know, he's still, you know, living in New York City, doing his thing there, and most probably recording and playing music, because that's pretty much what we all kind of like to do and wanted to do, always.
During the Dad's Porno Mag days, you guys did a cover of Roxy Music's Love is the Drug for John Taylor's Roxy tribute record. Did you have any direct feedback from John about your version?
Actually, when we did the Love is the Drug, we recorded on the same on John Taylor's record label, so we had a lot of input from John. I always call John James Bond of rock and roll. Pretty much the classiest, coolest Englishman I've ever met, and you know, knows how to play the bass too. A lot of people don't give him credit because he's so damn cute for being such a good bass player, but he actually really is a great bass player. And he knew what he wanted out of that Roxy Music song as well. I thought we did a pretty good job with that.
Were there any bands, Ryan, that you auditioned for that you didn't get the gig that we might be surprised to learn about?
There's been a few bands that I've auditioned for and not gotten in. Obviously, like I always tell people, I've played in about 100 bands, and 98 of them you probably haven't heard of. But there was one in particular that stands out. There's Poison. I didn't really audition for them, but I hung out with Brett Michaels in his apartment, and we went through all the demos. And he said, you know, man, you should really come down. This was before they got CeCe in the band.
Ah, okay.
But I sat down with Brett, and we went through all the demos at that point, which became the first album. So, yeah, you should really try out for this band. I think you'd be cool with it. And at the time, I was playing with another artist called Jeff Scott. So I was the one that didn't do the audition. And, you know, kind of kick yourself in the butt. But then again, it would have been a different journey if I had been in that band. It would have been a completely different journey than the one I've taken now.
Right. So are you back with Alice full time now?
I hope I'm back with Alice Cooper for as long as he can take me. I hold him in such high regard. He's the best boss I ever had. He's taught me so much about the music business. So, you know, pretty much it's not just Alice that I enjoy being around when you're in that camp. It's the fans, you know, as well. The fans are so supportive. They're so supportive of all the other different stuff that I do outside of Alice as well. So obviously I want to be in that camp as long as possible. But right now I'm really enjoying the ride, as I always like to say.
I take it you were responsible for getting Carrie Kelly on board the Alice tours. Will he be returning to the lineup?
Well, Carrie's one of those guys that's been in the trenches like myself as well. I brought him into the band Dad's Portomag very early on. Me and Mike Pisano, the drummer, actually brought him into the band. And then from there, Carrie basically took off and joined a bunch of different bands. I think he played with Warrant and Rad after that, and then eventually with Slash. So I don't think I'm responsible, because Carrie's a great player and he does his own, he steps up to the plate himself. But we opened the door and he went right on through. So I'm sure he was the first guy that actually congratulated me when Alice decided that he wanted to have me tour in 2012. I got a text from Carrie saying, "Hey, congrats, man." So it was cool. And I'm sure our paths will cross, because, you know, we're both out there and playing.
When you took a break from the Alice tour, were there moments when you wished that you hadn't and that you were still on the road?
Well, it's always hard to walk away from, like, a perfect job, and that's kind of what it was with Alice Cooper always. So there's moments where you kind of go, man, I wish I was playing that big rock show. Like, for example, when they played with the Stones, that was cool. But I had my Stones show in that sense, as that, you know, because my Rolling Stones was basically Cheap Trick. They are my favorite band, and we got to do a tour with them in 2005, so I was pretty excited about that. But to be honest with you, it was, the decision to leave was always about family and watching my kids grow up, and luckily I was able to do that. Not a lot of touring musicians were able to have that luxury, and the Alice Cooper camp supported that decision. And look, you know, it was some great years, you know, watching these little guys grow up and turn into little people and big people now, and almost like too big of people now, making their own decisions. And so it's nice the way it turns out to be able to get that opportunity to come back and tour in the big stages as well.
Right on. Well, I want to talk about Casablanca in a minute here, but there's a really bad smell coming this way.
Douchebag of the Month.
In remembrance of all the douche to ever grace Glambone Podcast, we honor thy douche with none other than Shark.
She's in her prime, but she's too clear. She's on my mind.
Now wait, Glambone. We've already given Shark the douche band title before.
Yeah, and I'm gonna give it to them again. You got a problem with that? Alright, fine. You wanna hear some new douche? Here's Chalet from somewhere like LA, I don't know. Who gives a fuck?
That wasn't half bad.
Wasn't half good either. Let's hear what Shock has to say.
Shock all.
So, Ryan, let's talk about Casablanca now. First off, the record sounds great. I want to know, upon forming the band, was there discussions about what direction, style the band would have? Or did you just start writing and see how it would take shape?
Well, Casablanca was a project that was around before I got into it. I was asked by the singer Anders to join the band and come in and see what I thought of the songs. And I thought they were really good. And I perhaps was the missing ingredient to like sort of get things over the top and get the actual record made, because they had done some recording before, but when we all got together and sat in a room and sort of compared our album collections and, you know, saw the synergy and which bands were all, hey, I like this band too. Oh, you like this band? Oh, I like Early Kiss. Okay, oh, I like Foo Fighters too. That's when we all started saying, okay, this is going to become a record. And we're going to draw from all our influences and hopefully make it something original, which I hope we have. I'm pretty, really proud of it. I'm not pretty proud of it. I'm actually really proud of that album. And anyone that hasn't heard of it, go out and check out CasablancaBand.com and, you know, steal your copy somewhere, okay?
Do you all write collectively as a band?
When it comes to the writing, it's the bass player Mats and the singer Anders that had the majority of the songs done. They brought them into the rehearsal studio, and that's when the five of us collectively all dug in and put our own mark on it and stamp on it. So it really is true when on the album we say, you know, songs written by Casablanca. And, you know, because it does become a Casablanca song after the five of us put in our parts. I don't mind coming into projects where the stuff is, you know, the ideas are there, because kind of what I like to do when I play this role as a guitar player, which is different from my role as in Roxy 77, where I kind of, you know, come up with the lyrics and sing and songs and stuff. This, I get to just, you know, shut up and play guitar. So now I'm going to shut up and answer the next question.
Chris Laney seems to be the go-to guy for the commercial hard rock sound in Sweden. What made the band decide to have him produce? And are the results exactly what you wanted?
Casablanca loves Chris Laney, and Chris Laney loves Casablanca. It was a great synergy. It was a great meeting. I've known Chris since I first moved to Sweden, and we've been talking back and forth about putting certain projects together. Hey, we should do this album. We should get together and do this. We should do... And it all finally came together with Casablanca. He was the perfect producer to use, and we just couldn't be happier. We recorded it the way, you know, you should record it. Everybody sitting in a room, recording in a big studio with a control room and big microphones and a big grand piano. It was at Polar Studios where... ABBA recorded a bunch of their big hits. So we're sitting in this big studio with this, you know, the same piano that SOS and Dancing Queen is recorded on, and we're thinking, man, there's got to be a way we can put piano somewhere on this album. So if you listen to it, Chris found a way. You know, it's in the background, but there's some grand piano somewhere lurking on that album. Somewhere there's a little bit of ABBA and all our rock.
Nice. Well, one of my favorites on it is Rich Girl. The guitar riff after the chorus reminds me of Blue Oyster Cult. Was that intentional?
You nailed it. Yeah, there was definitely a little bit of B.O.C. Influence in that song. It's one of those things when you do that chord progression with the A minor down to F and G. It just so happens that, you know, they have the sort of trademark on that. But... you know, we would have really gone over the top if we put some cowbell on it. More cowbell. But, yeah, I think that the influence of that song was a little bit of B.O.C. and actually a little bit of another band that starts with a B called Boston, you know? Because I was always a big Boston fan with the guitar layering of Tom Scholz. So, you know, and the harmonies that he laid. Obviously some Thin Lizzy's on the album as well. So, yeah, if you look at the album, you'll see direct influences from everywhere. Hopefully we've been able to change it just enough to, you know, get people's respect and keep the lawyers off our back.
It's B.O.C. How could it be pussy?
Overall, the record has a fun element to it. Do you think the fun in rock and roll has been missing these days?
I'm glad you hear the fun element, Glambone, about that, because it was a fun album to make, and I think it came through. I think every band enjoys doing what they do. If you don't enjoy doing what you do as far as, you know, playing in a rock and roll band, then you should definitely do something else, because it obviously, you know, doesn't pay all that great. You kind of spend your life, you know, really in the trenches and working hard for not a whole bunch of recognition and not a whole ton of money. But So you better enjoy what you do and enjoy the people that you play with.
Right on. Hard rock and image-conscious bands seem to be more alive in Sweden than anywhere else in the world right now. Why do you think that is?
I actually think that hard rock and image has always been a huge part, at least of my philosophy, of what it is to be a rock and roller. You know, I take it back from all to the posters on my wall when I was growing up. You know, Rod Stewart and Faces. I had posters of Peter Frampton. I had Kiss, you know, Cheap Trick. There was always an image element involved. So Sweden really concentrates and really studies that. And I think they have a good overview of how to make the image and the technicality of playing mesh together. And that's the thing. In Sweden, you find very few people that can't play their instruments. Everybody's really proficient in the instruments. And whether it's the water or just being up here with all the polar bears or whatever the hell it is, they're beautiful people. You know, they're beautiful up here in the north of Swedes, man. So, they have good image.
Yeah. So what has living in Stockholm been like for you, Ryan?
Living in Sweden has been one of those chapters of my life that has been so rewarding. It's been ups, it's been downs. You know, I've had some the highs of the highs. I got my own band. We got to open up for Kiss at Stockholm Stadion, which is like the biggest stadium in all of Sweden. And then, you know, the lows of the lows where, you know, my relationship with my wife ended here. So all in all, I couldn't and wouldn't change a thing for the decision to move here.
So have you surrendered your U.S. passport for a Swedish one?
I have dual citizenship. I'm sort of the James Bond of rock and roll, and I've taken over John Taylor's position, I guess, because I have a U.S. passport and a Swedish passport, which is sort of the European Union passport, and an actual year-long visa to Russia. So I am the international man of mystery, Ryan Roxy.
Has Ulla Salo contacted you about working on his post-Ark solo record?
Oh, I only knew it was a matter of time before Glambone, you mentioned Ulla Salo's name. To be honest with you, I love the Ark. I loved him before I even moved to Sweden. And I've actually had conversations with Ulla about stuff, but it's never been about music. It's always been more like, oh man, I saw your band tonight, you were great, and I want to check, I'm a big fan of Alice, he would say. And so I know our influences are all there. We just haven't lined it up to where we've put anything together musically. It would be really, I think, a great thing if we got together and sort of just saw what happens. So maybe Glambone, you can make it happen. Maybe somehow you can get Ola to listen to this interview, and my door is always open for Ola to get in touch and let's make some rock and roll.
Are there any plans for another Roxy 77 record?
Yes, actually with Roxy 77 we are putting out, we have a busy year between the touring with Alice, which is going to pick up, you know, the lion's share of the time. We do have enough material ready to make another album. But before that album gets released, we're going to release a box set, which I'm really excited about. So stay tuned for more information. We might actually just do a separate interview on the box set that's coming out. It's called the Roxy Box.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
It'll have the Dad's Porno Mag record, both the Roxy 77 Peace Love Armageddon and Two Sides to Every Story albums, plus a fourth CD, bonus CD, that will have a bunch of unreleased masters. So 70 tracks in all. Look out for the Roxy Box coming your way, hopefully sometime in the summer. But like I said, we'll get together again and talk about that when the time comes.
You know it. Well, tell me about that time you opened for Kiss back in Sweden with Roxy 77. Were there any encouraging words from Gene and Paul?
Yeah, you know what? Opening up for Kiss was a dream come true. Like I said, the highs of the highs since living here in Sweden. Paul and Gene played peekaboo with my daughter, who was like basically 4 years old at the time. She was just a little girl, and she called him the monster, Gene. She goes, where's the monster? And next thing you know, he's sticking his head out behind the dressing room door, and she's like, oh, there he is. So all those things were cool. So no encouraging words from me, but encouraging words from my son and my daughter who got to see the show, and it was, you know, such a cool experience.
So work with me here, Ryan. If for some reason Tommy Thayer left the fold and they asked you to join and don the spaceman's makeup, would you do it?
Well, if Tommy Thayer, you know, decided to take off the platforms, that means it would give me a chance to be in a band with Eric Singer again, and what a treat that would be.
That's right.
I actually really love playing with Eric, and he's such a good guy and has such a good heart. He's so cool to my kids and stuff. So there's nobody, and I'm saying nobody, that would not take that gig. Not at least from my genre, at least from my school where I grew up with the band. And you get that chance to play in Kiss, of course, you're going to take it. So, yeah. But I have a feeling Tommy ain't going anywhere. So, unless you want to pull a Tonya Harding on him, which would not be so nice.
No, that wouldn't be cool. So, tell me, Ryan, what's next for Casablanca? Will this be ongoing, more recording and touring?
Yeah, we're going to try and squeeze during the breaks as much as we can. And even when I'm not available for shows, Casablanca is going to continue to play shows with another guitar player. The guitar player that they have a couple of different replacement guitar players that are going to be great. And so I encourage anyone to go out, if they see the Casablanca band anywhere in their town, go out and check it out. And rest assured, I'll be back and making some more music with them as soon as I'm ready, willing, and able. And of course, with Roxy 77, we'll be out there as well. Again, thanks so much for all the support that you guys give us. Best way to find out either of the bands is just RyanRoxy.com, and then you can keep up to date with everything that I'm doing with all the different bands I'm in. But it's not too many different bands, to be honest with you. It's Alice Cooper, Roxy 77, Casablanca, and, you know, apparently now Kiss. Because you put it out there, Grandma. You put it out there, not me.
Well, right on, Roxy. It's been cool chatting with you. Thanks for doing that and filling us in on all good things Roxy Rock and Roll. We'll talk to you soon, pal.
I want to thank you for carrying the torch of Rock Glambone, and thanks to all of you out there. Again, I'm an approachable guy, maybe not on stage, but off stage I'm one of the most approachable guys you'll ever meet. Send me an email. Go onto the website directly. I have my email link right there. Or, you know, I do the Facebook thing from time to time. And I look forward to seeing you out there. Whatever big rock show is I'm involved in, I look forward to meeting you and playing for you and giving you all my guts. Well, not my guts, but pouring my heart out to you. There you go. Enjoy the ride. So long.
All right. Take care, man.
Give a fuck if it's Blue Oyster Cult, man. It's a pussy song.